Well, I want to ask you to give a warm welcome to Dexter Siegler as he brings us a message from the Word of God from his Torah, Haftorah, and Brit HaChadashah readings. Would you give him a warm welcome now?
Thank you, thank you. Can you hear me okay? Have to be careful around here. You never know when a joke is being played. First of all, I'd like to welcome everybody here. Thanks for coming out and joining me on this day. Today is actually my birthday. I tried to lie, but I have a 26-year-old, so I can't say I'm but so old, so. But I'd like to give a special thank you to Rabbi David, Rabbi Uri, Aaron Jacobs, Eric Painter. Thank you. For y'all that don't know, I cannot sing. So Eric was very important during the prayers. But now that that's over, I can tell you. The Oneg Ministry and all my family and friends who came out today. The title of my message today is The Blessing of Sons. As I studied my Torah portion in scriptures from the Haftorah and Brit HaChadashah, I noticed a common thread which connects and centers all the passages. The thread is blessing a son, a natural born or adopted. The Bible is rich with stories of family dynasties and generational covenants. These families grew from children of natural birth, children of promise, and children who were adopted and engrafted into the family. In all of the stories, there was no difference in treatment between a son who was a natural born and a son who was adopted. For the natural born son, that's not a big deal or even something that you think about. But for those of us who are adopted, we think about, consider, and view all family interactions through that lens. Most of you don't know this, but for all intents and purposes, I was adopted. I was born to teenage parents, and my paternal grandmother decided that neither my mother nor father were prepared or capable of raising a child. So in the tradition of an African-American family, and some of you may know, you don't go through an adoption agency. They simply just take you home. This is true. She simply took me home with her. There were no attorneys, no official court documents, no gotcha day celebrations. She just took me, wrapped me in her love, and called me her son. I will say this, though. I had a very great relationship with my biological mother. We were very close. She was more of a big sister to me. And I was able to talk to her about things I didn't want to talk to my grandmother about. So that was a big plus. Let's talk about blessings first. I think in order to appreciate the gravity of what is happening in each of the readings, we have to understand what's going on. From the beginning of time, God's purpose has been to bless. As demonstrated in Genesis 1:27-28, immediately after creating mankind, God blessed them. In biblical times, blessings were believed to be the bestowing of privilege, right, responsibility, or favor by God, or by ones whom he has blessed. First, this belief meant that a lot of value was placed on the favor of parents and on blessings they pronounced on their children. It was believed that the words spoken by parents had the power to bring good or bad, or in other words, a blessing or a curse. Second, not only was a father's final blessing important as a practical matter of inheritance rights. It was also believed that the father's blessing was the most valuable heritage that the parents could leave to their children. So with that understanding, let's look at the readings. My Torah reading is Genesis 49:24. It's part of scripture verses where Israel is blessing his son Joseph on his deathbed. For a clearer picture, I'll read 22 through 25. Joseph is a fruitful plant, that is Joseph, a fruitful plant by a spring, with branches climbing over the wall. The archers attacked him fiercely, shooting at him and pressing him hard. But his bow remained taut, and his arms were made nimble by the hands of the mighty one of Yaakov, Jacob. From there, from the shepherd, the stone of Israel, by the God of your father, who will help you, by El Shaddai, who will bless you with blessings from heaven above, blessings from the deep, lying below, blessings from the breast and the womb. That is what you call blessings from everywhere. In this passage, Israel describes the life of Joseph, who he was, who he became as a man, and how he got there. Israel used the example of a fruitful vine planted by a spring to describe Joseph's situation at that time. Then he uses the example of an archer under attack to describe Joseph's past trials. Lastly, he paints a picture of a boy, and if you can imagine this, he paints a picture of a boy whose father is teaching him to shoot a bow and an arrow, but the boy isn't strong enough to pull the bow back all the way and hold it steady on the target. So the father wraps his arms around the boy, puts his strong hands over the boy's hands, pulls back the bowstring, and aims it at the target. Then Israel ties the two examples together by showing that the reason for Joseph's present fruitfulness was because he had endured past trials in the strength of God. The stone of Israel, and by another name, the cornerstone, also known as Yeshua. Notably, in verse 24, Israel reveals his own intimate relationship with God and call him his own. In a previous chapter in Genesis, he called Adonai, the God of his father. Here he proclaims Adonai to be his mighty God, his shepherd, his rock. I believe he did so because he learned, just as his father and his grandfather learned, that Adonai shows himself to be mighty for his children. He leads his children along the paths of righteousness and is a firm foundation to build your life upon. It's after these declarations of Adonai's name that he proceeds to bless his son Joseph. Given what we know about the perceived value of a father's blessing, you can only imagine what that must have sounded like to Joseph. The power of a father's blessing, magnified by the express relationship with Almighty God, it must have been mind-blowing. So if you're Joseph, he has to be walking around saying, "Wow, what a day. I'm second to Pharaoh, have wealth and riches. My father just gave me the Powerball of all blessings. And he adopted my two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, as his sons." We have a picture of a man who is at the pinnacle of his career. He's loved and adored by everyone. But he has every material thing he could want or need. And I imagine all that adoration and favor that was given to him was also given to his sons. Which means the two sons were walking around Egypt like celebrities. A-listers, rock stars, athletes, whatever you want to call them. But then the two celebrity princes who had everything were told they were going to be adopted by their grandfather and included as one of the sons of Israel. Genesis 48:5-6. "Now your two sons who were born to you in the land of Egypt, before I came to you in Egypt, are mine. Ephraim and Manasseh will be as much as mine as Reuben and Simeon are. The children born to you after them will be yours. But for purposes of inheritance, they are to be counted with their older brothers. Again, I can picture the look on their faces as they said, "Wait, what?" On the surface, they and many others may have thought they were going from the penthouse to the outhouse. And as one who would have been 19 years old at that time, I would have thought the same thing. And I'm just being honest. The truth was that their adoption and the subsequent blessing given by their grandfather to them and to their father brought about a major change in the composition of Jewish people. In their elevation to sons and Joseph's receipt of the firstborn's right, born birthright, removed the firstborn status from the tribe of Reuben and gave it to Joseph and his offspring. Sucks to be Reuben. What I find interesting in this is that there's no record of them complaining. Were they mad when they moved out of the palace to go live in a tent with their uncles slash brothers? Did they feel like their palace education was going to be wasted on a bunch of tribal shepherds? How would you feel about that kind of life-changing event? I think they must have believed in and understood the value of their grandfather's blessing, which is why they wouldn't barter away their Jewishness for the most exalted social position or the most incredible political career in the Egyptian state. Instead, they voluntarily gave up their place in the Egyptian royalty to be identified with their people. Like Joseph's sons, I too was adopted by a grandparent, and a blessing of that grandparent would change my life. Looking back, I now understand that it was because of my grandmother that instead of losing my life to the world, I played football, though not with her blessing. Quick story. A little background on my grandmother. My grandmother was born in 1913. I didn't know that at the time. 14 years removed from the 18th century. Wow. She was a school teacher for 35 years. She was born and raised in Yulee. At that time, it was O'Neill. Born and raised in Yulee. Taught school for 35 years. And, of course, being raised during the Great Depression, she was very frugal, very. But now I do understand why. At the time I didn't, but I understand why now. But anyway, she was all about education, education, education. And unbeknownst to me, I was going to New York University, whether I got a football scholarship or not. But the story is, my eighth grade year, first time I get to play organized football, I come home with the papers from the school. "Mom, could you please sign these papers so I can play football?" She was like, "No." So all week I begged and begged and begged, and she said no. So that Friday we had to turn the papers in. So what did I do? I signed her name myself. Thought I got away with it. Because I was a year behind everyone school-wise, I started school a year early. So because of my age, they called the house to see if that was correct. Well, in that, I wasn't home at the time. I was still in school. So they called to verify my age, and my grandmother was like, "I didn't sign any papers." They were like, "Well, we're going to need you to come up here, Ms. Siegler, because we have your signature on these papers." She comes to the school, unbeknownst to me. She comes to the school, she sees the paper, she was like, "Yeah, that's my signature." And then she looks at it again, and she was like, well, wait a minute. I didn't sign that. So I get home, and she says to me, so I hear you playing football. How you know? Because you signed my name. And I would say that is the first time that I done something I shouldn't have and didn't get chastised for it. But I would say 8 years later after that, I became an All-American at the University of Miami. And her friend who lived two doors down, people from Avon Park, Miss Connor, who was older than her at the time, I overheard her talking to her, and she said, when I signed my scholarship, she said, I bet you're glad he signed your name now. True story. I graduated high school with recruitment and scholarship offers for more than 30 Division I colleges. I attended and graduated college as a student athlete, where I was on a team that played for three and won two national championships. Also, like Joseph's sons, after football, I went from being adored, sought after by media, hounded for autographs, to simply being a part of the tribe, not realizing that the blessing of my grandmother was working in tandem with the blessing of my forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, to fulfill the will of God for my life. Which brings me to my second reading. 1 Kings 2:2-3. Again, for context and understanding, I'll read from 1 through 3. The time came near for David to die, so he commissioned Shlomo, Solomon, his son, as follows. I am going the way of all the earth. Therefore, be strong, show yourself a man. Observe the charge of Adonai, your God, to go in his ways and keep his regulations, mitzvot, rulings, and instructions in accordance with what is written in the Torah of Moshe, Torah of Moses, so that you will succeed in all you do and wherever you go. In this passage, we have the blessing of another son by his father on his deathbed. Using the same understanding we have for the value of a paternal blessing, we witness a father's blessing which encouraged his son to be strong, just as God told Joshua before he led the children of Israel into the promised land, which I think means he's blessed him with might and power like Joshua's. He then instructs him to follow the ways of God and keep God's commandments. Here I think he was instructing Solomon to use the wisdom of God to rule and lead the people. David knew that while the blessing of a dying earthly father was powerful, it was nothing compared to the power and authority of a living God and Father. In other words, David blessed Solomon with the capability and tools to successfully do his part, so God could do his part to bless his people, bless Solomon, and bless those who would come after him. I imagine that Solomon was sitting at his father's bedside hearing this blessing and saying, wait a minute. I want a regular old blessing like everybody else. Of power, peace, wealth, etc. What kind of blessing is filled with instruction and borderline threats for disobedience? Don't we all think that way sometimes? The Bible is filled with thou shalt nots and conditional blessings. In fact, I think it's one of the main reasons that people don't read it. But our choosing not to read it or listen to the voice of Yeshua in no way changes its value or its promise to do exactly what David said it would do for Solomon, which is to cause us to succeed in all we do and wherever we go. Disclaimer. Like Solomon's life, our worldly success is based upon God's providential and merciful will, not a formula of reading, praying, etc. Like most people, I learned this lesson the hard way. After graduating from college and entering to the NFL, I thought life would be a breeze. I thought I'd play football for 10 years, receive 3 or 4 lucrative contracts, have a bevy of girlfriends, and a yacht. If you don't believe me, ask my wife. Fortunately and unfortunately, neither my career nor my social life ended up that way. Since I grew up being forced to go to church with my grandmother, I knew who God was. But I didn't know who he was to me. And I definitely didn't know who I was to him. Because of that, I prayed, but I didn't seek his wisdom. I read the Bible, but I didn't always put it into practice into my life. And then I got married, and boy. Did I realize how much I needed the wisdom of God to survive. As you can see, she always tells me I'm blissfully happy. That's another story. I lived through the challenges of being an undrafted free agent in the NFL for 5 years, all while learning to be a husband and a father. I attempted to be strong in my own power, leaned on the wisdom of sports agents, friends, and others. In all honesty, I sought the blessings of success, peace, provision, and protection from those who had no power to deliver it. It wasn't until I realized that my life was devoid of a real relationship with God that I understood that what I needed most in my life was the blessing of God as my Father. It is only now that the concept of adoption and the blessings of a father to a son has become real to me in the reading of my Brit Hachrashah, John 10:9-10. I am the gate. If someone enters through me, he will be safe and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come so that they may have life, life in its fullest measure. In these verses, Yeshua shows the difference between himself and thieving leaders. He makes a clear statement of his identity. He said he is the door, the right way, the only way into the sheepfold. Those who enter are being saved. That is, being brought into pasture and life rather than being snatched up and destroyed. So who gets to enter through the gate of Yeshua? All those who have been adopted and have become the children of God. John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. Galatians 4:6. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. The truth of the gospel is that everyone receives Yeshua who believes in him. Yeshua gives the right to become the children of God. The moment we put faith in Yeshua's death and resurrection, we are adopted. No longer orphans without a heavenly father or outside of a relationship with him. God's adoption put us in the same position that Joseph and Solomon sat in. We have been given the right to sit at his feet as sons and receive his blessings. God stands as our Father's greatest blessing given to his children. It is to be his and the position to live with all the benefits that identification with him brings. In other words, the true blessing of God is his relational presence in our lives. Some would argue that the blessing of God is life, strength, wealth, etc. But those are primarily the manifestations, not the substance of blessing. While I agree that his blessings do include those benefits, I would argue that anyone could get those. atheists, people who don't even think about knowing God can attain material wealth. But only a son or a daughter can have a relationship, which is the true substance and power of God's blessing. Through Yeshua, the blessing of Abraham for life, salvation, prosperity, healing, creative power, intimacy, righteousness comes all on the sons and daughters of faith. Everyone who wants the blessing of a son, which is to be in relationship with Adonai, must be adopted. As evidence from my life with my grandmother and my new life in Adonai. Adoption is not a bad thing. Instead, it's the best thing. I hope you are adopted. Jokes. At least yet.
No pranks.
No prank. We got one?
No.
Okay.
We just wanted to keep you on edge. Fantastic message. Yes. Stay up there with us. What a great message. Yes. Studying with Dexter for all these months over this past year has been so rewarding for me and enjoyable for me. And as he was trying to focus his message, there's so much that that he brought out from the scriptures that he couldn't cover today. So I proposed to him that we start a new tradition, which is on the anniversary next year, that he speak again and cover the rest of the material and whatever else God puts on his heart. And this will actually give us opportunity, Cantor, for a prank. In the future. Yeah.